This morning, I would like to share the word of God with you, and the title of my message is, The Mic is Always On. The mic is always on. Our words matter. Our conversations matter. What kind of conversations we have at the table with our spouses, with our families, they matter. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, a good person produces good out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. Or another translation says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And often we say things that we might regret. Often we speak things that we look back and say, I wish I never said this or that. But how do we get a hold of this vessel, if I can put it that way? How can we get a hold of this little tongue that has so much power in our lives? And the Bible here says, first, it is the heart. It's a heart issue. And the heart can only be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, by God Himself. It is our heart. Amen. Our heart is a storage, and what we stored there, that's what's gonna come out. It's not that I said something, oops, what did I say? No, no, it's been there. It's been hiding. Or let me put it that way. We have been hiding it. But what's in our heart, it comes out, and it's like a storage. What we put in there, that's what's gonna come out. I want to ask all of us a question, and I include myself into this because I did not arrive. I did not arrive. Would our speech be different if we knew that all of our conversations are being recorded? Think about this. Would my speech and your speech be different if I invisibly would just bring a mic and just record all the conversations? What would we end up storing differently in our hearts if that was the case? With that kind of awareness, what will we change about our hearts and about our fellowship, about our conversations? A while back, I put this mic on and something was not going correctly. There were issues and different things. And I remember my brother Ben Hughes was there in the back and he's trying to figure out this thing. And I did not realize that I'm still being live online, even though before the service. It's 10 minutes before the service they go. So if they forget to press a button there that mutes me, I am live. And in that moment, I'm just saying to him all the frustrations that I'm going through with this system, right? And something to that, you know, something to this effect, I was like, what a stupid mic this is, or something like that, right? And then I realize, you know, we are told that we are live. And all of a sudden, I was so embarrassed. To the moment, I said, Ben, is there something we can do? We can delete that. And it's just not nice. My attitude was not the prettiest at that moment. Is there a way we can go back and just figure something out? And thank God for system that we can. But it just reminded me, and this thought just came, oh my goodness. I felt so confident just expressing my frustration on a system that cannot even hear me, but can transform me to others. And in the moment, when I knew that my mic was on, I was embarrassed. And I, even though there was not a big deal overall, but it was a big deal for me. And I began to think about this, man, if I can always live a life to think with the awareness that everything that I do, my mic is on, how many things would change in my life? How many things would change in my conversations? But do you know that at all our conversations are being recorded? Do we know that everything that we say are being recorded? Do we know that our mic is always on? Even the moment when we're trying to mute and press that button, mute, 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 like our phone in the morning when the alarm comes on for us to wake up and read the Bible reading plan. This is what we're trying to do, right? But no, 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 the mic is always on. Today I want to remind all of us that even though we might not have a physical recording device with us at all times, we have a spiritual device on us at all times that records us, and those words are always recorded in heaven. And sometimes we lose that sight that, man, if we are around certain people, we might not say certain things, but we forget that all of our conversations and actions and what we say and what we even think, the Lord already knows. And the problem is that we forget sometimes. It's not that we don't know that, we forget sometimes. We get very comfortable. You know, when we start dating our wives, we should date them now too. But I'm talking about when we just met them, we were so careful in what we were saying. But now, since they're with us, we're just blah, 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 right? So sometimes in our own life, when we become born again Christians and everything is so fresh, we are so tender, we are so careful, we are like the holiest. But the more we walk with the Lord, it's almost kind of like, man, God understands me. And I can just spill everything what I have in me. God already knows it. No, no, no. Do that in the prayer closet. Do that in the prayer closet. But the problem is often that I find out with me that I have to adjust in my life. It's often when we come to the prayer closet where we know what to do. Oh, Holy Father, hallowed be thy name. And we turn into a different person in that moment. Like God does not know what we did 10 minutes ago with our friends. And we pretend like nothing happened. Oh, I am here. Thank you for your mercies, for this day, for your blessings, for your guidance. Instead to say, God Almighty, I struggle with this thing. Oh, I don't like this person. A matter of fact, it's not even liking, I hate this person, but your word says that I'm a murderer. If I do that, would you change me? How often do we pray that? How often do we have those conversations with the Lord? Because before a word comes out of our mouth, He already knows it. But we tend to think that He's not aware in a sense. But let us remember that our words and our conversations are always being recorded. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37 says this, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Thank God for the cross. Thank God. We have a lawyer in the house here, but I was interested back in the day in the law, and I was studying the law a little bit. And often whenever if people show up for a speeding ticket or for whatever reason, or you watch maybe a court date online or on the news, if the person is there and they hire the lawyer usually tells that person to what? To talk? No, they tell him, be quiet. I'm gonna do the talking for you. Because your conversations, your words can get you in trouble. It says you have the right to remain what? Silent. It's amazing how much power we have when we're silent. It's amazing how much trouble we can avoid when we're silent, even though we are guilty sometimes of the things that can be brought against us. But he says, but listen, the only condition I have for you, if you remain silent, this is the best thing for you. And let the lawyer deal with the rest. Oh, thank God for Jesus Christ that He's our lawyer. Thank God. Thank God. But now we are to be silent. We are to be silent. Because there is power in our words. That's how much our words have power. I can't tell you enough how many times in the middle of the conversation that I would have and the Holy Spirit would convict me and I had to be quiet. I can't tell you. A lot. I would like them to be more rare than possible, but a lot I find myself. But thank God for that. It would be a problem if I would disregard and be like, oh, forget this. Thank God for His Holy Spirit. Often I have to give a phone call and say, I'm sorry, I overstepped the boundary. I'm sorry for that. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Having wisdom, what to say, how to say. The same thing can be said, just in a different way, to be able to bring dignity and honor to the person that maybe we bring attention to. And so often, If we allow the Holy Spirit to do that, we can grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and in self-control. A few months ago, I had the privilege to travel, and I had a meeting with a very known figure. And we were in the office just talking about ministry, different things, and I thought it's gonna be a very short conversation, and that turned into probably like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And let me tell you something. Majority of the conversation, I felt so uncomfortable sitting in that office. And I'm talking about a spiritual leader. He's talking with me, right? And all of a sudden, we're talking about things, and I'm not talking real, I'm just listening, but it's so awkward. How do you tell somebody who is elderly now and they're just telling you, names are brought up, you know? Conversations, deeds are brought out about the people, and I'm sitting and thinking, I'm so uncomfortable. What do I do? Do I just stop this conversation? And I cowered in that moment. Because of the situation, because of the person and the honor that I have for this person, I did not have the guts, but inside of me, Pavel, you can't listen to all of these things. But you know what gave me an understanding that a lot of those conversations that were shared to me, they were not appropriate? It's not that we can't talk about people. We can share the same story without mentioning a name. And we can cover that person. We can talk about the situation as an example to maybe exhort somebody else for the purpose of an example, of an illustration to exhort somebody, but not mentioning a name. We can do that. But no, we want the story to be more powerful. We want the story to be more authentic. And we're like, oh, so and so. And you're like, oh my goodness, now I need the grace of the Lord to look at these people still the same. And do you know that it takes maturity to do that? Spiritual maturity to do that? When you know somebody struggling through it or been through things, to cover them, it takes spiritual maturity. But not everybody is at that stage. Not everybody is at that level. And before we left, I asked this gentleman, I said, let's pray for me. And one of the things he said in this prayer that stood out to me, that I figured out, wow, I think God, you're also touching his heart that he crossed the line. And one of the prayers says, God, if I said anything in this conversation, please forgive me. Which is good. It's good. It means that the conviction came, but also it can be avoidable that we don't have to pray prayers like that. It can be avoidable. If we start praying prayers like that, God, I crossed the line. Forgive me for saying this and that, and I did not have power over my conversation. It's good that we pray those prayers, but it's also better if we don't even have to do that because we have control over this little muscle called the tongue, right? And this is the moment that I knew, you know what? Even those moments, he's convicted. But man, how about can we be convicted during our speech and stop? Oh, how much better that would be. We have a member. There is a part of our body that is so, so small, but has so much control over us. And James calls it the untamable tongue, uncontrollable tongue. And let's read together what James has to say about this little tongue that we have. If we can open up James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. James chapter 3, verse 1 and down. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. Some of us stumble. What does the Bible say? Who stumbles? All. All. So don't think it's just, oh, it's just some of us. No, all of us. All of us stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is what? A perfect man. That's amazing. He says, listen, if you got to a place or a point in your life that you don't stumble in your words, man, you're perfect. Able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits into the horses' mouth that we may obey, that they may obey us. And we turn their whole body. And I'm very familiar with this because I grew up in a village around animals. And I'm telling you, those bits, they worked so amazingly. So amazingly. You direct the horse where you want the horse to go. And you think, you know, so many people in these days, they think it's animal abuse. No, no, no. It's to bring control over that body. To bring control over that body. And today we say, no, no, it's freedom of speech. No, but even freedom has boundaries. Because if it didn't, it wouldn't have been freedom anymore. And for that reason, we are to be very careful of our words. Look also at the ship, although they are so large and are driven by the fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, whatever the pilot desires. In different words, this ship has a pilot. But for our body, do you know who's the pilot? We are. We are the pilot for this tongue. We are the pilot of these words. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Amazing, right? It's a little thing, but boasts about the greatest thing. See how great and force a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. So he's bringing an illustration here that the way sometimes we see all these forests that are burning sometimes, it started with a little spark. It started with a little fire. And it's amazing over here the correlation James is bringing and reminding us that of what this little tongue can do. And it's set on fire by hell for every kind of boast and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea. It's tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Later on he says over here, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. We are not to curse with this tongue and bless. We're not to tell blasphemies and tell things that are not appropriate. Over here in verse 9 it says, with it we bless our God and the Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similarity of God, in the image of God. He says, how can you do that? You bless God with the same tongue and now you are cursing and talking all of these things about the very thing that he has created. And over here it says, my brethren, let these things not be among you. Let these things not be part of your story. It's amazing that this little vessel that we have in our mouth can do so much damage in our life if we do not ask the Lord to give us self-control and to get a hold of this tongue. And as I said, it comes all from our hearts. And that's why our hearts must be regenerated. Our hearts must be brand new through Christ Jesus. Our words matter, my brother, my sister. Our words matter. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 says this, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. He says, live wisely around, especially those that are not believers, and take the most opportunity and make the most of every opportunity that you have. And in the context, it talks about sharing this gospel. And we can share this gospel if the gospel is in our hearts and the gospel if it's on our lips. But if it's not, we are in trouble. He says the purpose for this is to share the gospel when encouraging and those that are not believers, to encourage them in their faith and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Seize the moment to share these words of wisdom and life with them. And then later on, this verse in chapter 4 of Colossians, verse 6 says this, let your conversations sometimes be gracious. No, he says, always be gracious. Always. Let my conversation, your conversation, always be gracious and attractive. I like this translation. It says attractive. It's amazing that we were attracted to our spouses because how they were acting, because of their beauty, because of what they were saying, right? I don't know if you would be attracted to your spouse if they were just out there cursing and doing all this crazy stuff and all of a sudden, oh, this attracts me. It doesn't attract me, I can tell you that. But no, the Bible over here says, let your conversation be such a way that will attract people to you. Is my conversation today attracting people or pushing people away from me? And this is a question I have to give to myself, to my family, to my colleagues, and also I'm giving it to you because we are all on the same boat. Is my conversation attractive? Another one, it says, seasoned with salt. In different words, if you're eating a meal and it does not have the proper ingredients in it, it just tastes very, I wanted to say disgusting, but I just said it. But no, we put things into that food to make this food yummy, to make this food good. And a little bit of salt is needed there. That's why it says that our conversations, if we want our conversations to have impact and we want our conversations to matter, we should have a little bit of salt in our conversation. Meaning, get rid of some of the things and add some of the things that needed to be added so that you will have the right response for some of your best people. No, for all people, for everyone. I just love the scripture when it says all, for everyone. It says if we are always gracious, we will be attractive people that will say things that are attractive. Our conversation will be seasoned with salt, and as a result, or as a response, we will have the right response for everyone. That's amazing. We'll have the right response for everyone. The second thing, let us not grieve the Spirit with our words and deeds. Do you know that we can grieve the Holy Spirit? We can. Oh, you're on the new covenant. Amazing. Thank God for that. But you can still grieve the Holy Spirit. You can still grieve when you walk. I'm married to my wife. We walk together. We fellowship together. As much as I love her, as much as I'm together with her. But also there are moments that I know that if I said something or did something, I can grieve her. It doesn't mean that we're running to the court and we want divorce all of a sudden. No. But it's an awareness that I did wrong. I said something that I shouldn't. And you ask forgiveness. Amen? And same way, when we walk with the Lord, sometimes through our actions, through our words, to what we say, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And if we're spiritual, as Apostle Paul says, we will know that in our hearts, we will know that inside of us, that we did something that we're not supposed to do, that because the Holy Spirit will convict us. When we grieve Him, He convicts me and you. And this is the moment to run to Him and say, forgive me. When He convicts us and when we grieve Him, it's not like He's running away, but He's there and tells you, listen, I'm in communion with you. It's not right what you just did. I want to bring correction in your life. And it's so important to do that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 to 32 says this, therefore, put away. What should we do? Put away. Say it with me. What should we do? Put away. What should we put away? Lying? Let each one of you speak truth. How practically should we get a hold of this little tongue? We should put away all the exaggerations, all these things that make the story more to vibe, right? And it says, no, you put away that and you speak what? Truth. You always speak truth. That's awesome. That's awesome. Who do you speak truth with? He says over here, with his neighbor. Yes, with the people you hang out with the people you spend time with, your family, with everyone, you speak truth. For we are members of one another. Be angry. Yes, over here it says, over here in the book of Ephesians, allows you to be angry a little bit, but not out of control, but still have self-control in that. It says, be angry and do not sin. How can you do that? I don't know, you figure it out, you tell me. You tell me. If you figure that one out, you come to me, okay? Get angry, but don't sin. In different words, listen, we will face sometimes situations in life that we'll be ticked off. Sometimes will rob us. Somebody will might rob us the wrong way. Somebody might say something to us and we're like, oh, right? We can get angry. But he says, you can get angry, but still don't sin. Don't sin. Don't sin. That's amazing. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. You see, not only Jesus was angry when he came to the temple, he began to do World War III there, right? He was angry, but he did not sin. It says, don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil in the moments where you're disappointed, in the moments when you're hurt, in the moments when you wanna just say everything about somebody. No, 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 no. In that moment when you lose it, no, no, no. Ask the Lord to help you. Because over here, he acknowledges you can get angry at times. Sometimes you can lose it. But he says in the middle of this, do not give place or room to the devil. Because this is the moment when the devil wants to come and be like, oh, this is the opportunity. Because sometimes we're not very level-headed in those moments when we are boiling, right? Whenever when we boil things, we usually put a cap on the top of those things. And if we don't take that cap off in time, this water is gonna start overspilling on our stove. And it's amazing that you don't even have to take the whole cap. You can just take a little bit and just give a little bit of air. And all of a sudden, the water is more regulated. In the moments when you're boiling, can we ask the Holy Spirit, God, can you take this cap off a little bit? I don't have the strength because I feel like I'm about to overflow here. Not with your spirit, not with the power of the Holy Spirit, not with the infilling of the spirit, but the infilling of human wrath. And I'm about to devour this guy or this girl, right? He says, no, no, no. In that moment, don't give the opportunity to the devil. Come on, don't do that. Let him who stole steal no longer. So if you stole somebody, give it back. Simple as that. How about tomorrow? If you steal, can you ask forgiveness? Sure, but Ovidia says, don't steal anymore. Different words, go and steal no more. But rather, let him labor. Different words, go to work. Go to work, because if you don't work, you're gonna have a lot of time to talk. You're gonna have a lot of time to make up stories. You're gonna have a lot of time to call your friends and you know, somebody says that for ourselves, for others, we become the judge, but for ourselves, we become the lawyers. I wanna say this. For others, often we become the judge, but for us, we become liars, not lawyers, because we lie to ourselves. He says, no, but go to work. Don't steal. Don't just look for an easy thing, but be disciplined. Working with his hands, what is good. Different words, put your hands to work. Put your mind to work. Stay focused. Stay busy. That he may have something to give him who has a need. In different words, do good. Do good. If somebody wronged you, if somebody does something, do good. Responding good and give those that are in need. Verse 29. And no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. In different words, if you're gonna say something, say for necessary edification, that it may impact or impart grace to the hearers. Is my conversation imparting grace to that person that is hearing me? And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's been convicting me like crazy. No, no, no. Impart grace. Impart grace. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. This is what it says down here. Do not grieve whom? The Holy Spirit. Can we grieve the Holy Spirit with our conversation? Of course. Of course. And over here, it gives you what you should do practically by the power of God, but also practically in our own lives. Be busy. Do something. Don't have idle time that you can just put and just live your own lives how you think. No, be busy and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, let some of the bitterness, no, let what? Let all bitterness be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. In different words,
forgive. You were wronged, forgive. Forgive, cover with grace, forgive. And in my closing, I would like to remind all of us also that let us learn to choose to speak life. Let us learn and let us choose to learn to speak life. James chapter 1 verse 19 says this, my beloved brethren, I would add here, and sisters, my brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be very, very slow to listen, right? No, I wish. He says, no, be very quick to listen. Be quick to listen. Don't be quick to open your mouth, but be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Slow. My beloved brothers and sisters, understand this. In different words, he's saying, it's over here. It's the renewing of your mind. How do we do this? It's understanding over here first. Understand this. Everyone. Some? No, every person. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And this is the word of God that can help us to do that. Don't be hasty in response, but take time and choose our words carefully. Don't be hasty in a response. And sometimes in the heat of the moment, we can be so hasty in a response. And I had to catch myself so many times. I was like, can't you get this together? Just be quiet. Be quiet. Because in 10 minutes and 15 minutes, you might feel different. Just whatever word the cap is on this pot and the water is boiling, can we ask the Holy Spirit to just release the pressure? It's like a pressure valve. God, would you release this pressure? And all of a sudden, it doesn't mean that the water is not boiling, but what it means now, it's under control. It's not overflowing, the anger and all of the things that we want to say, but it's overflowing with all of this air that is coming out and in its control, its control. And then the second thing, what you do, you take this pot from the burning place and you're putting aside. And all of a sudden, it cools. What? Cools down. Holy Spirit, would you help me to cool down? To cool down? And then when it cools down a little bit, there's so many things that can be done with this water. Proverbs 17 verse 27 says this, he who restrains his words has knowledge. Has knowledge. You see, and early on, as I said over here, everybody needs to understand. James knew this and he says, you need to understand, it's over here. He says, if you have the ability to restrain words, you are full of knowledge. You have tapped into something that maybe other people might not have it, but you have it. You don't have it, you have it. Oh, how cool I am to say so many things. No, you become cooler when you don't say so many things. You have knowledge. And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. In different words, if you have self-control, this is a fruit of the Spirit, you are a man of understanding. And if you understand that there's a time and season for everything, man, you're wise. Can I hang out with you, please? Invite me for dinner. I want to learn. I want to learn. I'm young, but I want to hang out with you. Have you noticed I'm surrounding myself with a bunch of people that have lived a life? I can very easily have a bunch of 20-year dudes around me and boys and girls around me and kind of like, let's do this or that. No, I wanna surround myself with people that lived a life, that know what it means to live a life, that went through life, and that also know the faithfulness of God. And that's why I'm surrounding with people like that. One of my best friends and one of our closest friends to my family, it's Ella Lamar. I'm not gonna mention her name, because you don't say the names of the ladies, but I can mention the name of my friend Richard. 9 years old. We hang out with those people a lot. We laugh, we share jokes. Sometimes we gotta stop. But we also pray for each other. We buy gifts for each other. And they're there to listen. And I love this couple. This is the people who I hang out with. And this is the people that I choose to be around me. Because I want to be shaped by people that have wisdom. By people that control their conversations. By people that can have control over this little tongue. by people that can protect me, by people that can encourage me, by people that can remind me how much they are there for me and are praying for me. People that have cool spirit. People that are full of understanding. Proverbs 18:21 says this, the tongue has the power of life and death. Our words can either speak life, our words can speak death. Our words can either build up or our words can tear it down. This is the power of our tongue. This is the power that we possess in our mouth. Are we a thermostat in our conversation? Or we are the thermometer in our conversation? Give an answer to yourself, and I have to give an answer to myself. A thermostat, it's setting the environment up. A thermometer, it's only measuring. And it's very comfortable either way. It can be high, it can be low, it doesn't matter. It just tells you what the temperature is. I want to be a thermostat that when I walk into the room, I can set up the environment. That if I come into a conversation, a conversation that was taking place that's not supposed to take place, in the name of Jesus, let it stop. Can we be like that? Can we ask the Holy Spirit to help us with that? Can we ask the Lord to give us the grace with that? We need it. How do we talk with our children? Oh, how stupid you are. Can't you get it together? I've heard people talk like that to their children. And then when they grow up, no wonder why they turn in different ways, because of our words as parents that have power over our children. Oh, you're so wise. Oh, you're so smart. I'm telling you, you're better than that. Yes, you did this mistake when you did that, but I'm telling you, you're a leader. You're a believer in Christ. You are strong. You don't have to do that. That's somebody else can do that, but it's not for you. Oh, we speak life over them. Can we speak life over situations in our life and over circumstances that we face in our life, in our marriage? I always knew you're so dumb. That's why you're dealing with all of that. How about you say, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I'm gonna pray, Father, He's the wisest man in the whole wide world. He's my leader. Give me the grace to submit. Give me the grace to follow. Give me the grace to embrace. As a father, as a husband. I knew you always were like that. No, you didn't. If you knew, you wouldn't marry. No. God, I need your grace now. Because we are one. Divorce is not an option. I come to you and I'm asking you, give me the grace to speak words that edify. Give me the grace to speak words that build. Give me the grace to speak words that bring life in my marriage. Yes, you can speak the truth, but that truth a little bit hurts, right? That kind of a truth. We like that kind of a truth. But no, but let my speech be gracious, filled with salt, filled with wisdom, and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And He can help us do that. He can help us do that. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word that has power over our lives and for your word that teaches us how to live. Lord, this word has been touching my life for so long now. God, I thank you that you love us, and that's why you're addressing these things to us, because you had given us the Holy Spirit, and one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Father, no wonder that when you have promised the Holy Spirit, we have promised to the disciples that they will speak the new tongues. It is this little vessel that we need to have a new language, a new conversation in our mouth. Give us the grace, oh Father. Help us in the name of Jesus to be gracious with our words and to speak life, not death. To speak things that build up and not destroy. In the name of Jesus, would you help us to bless our children, our marriages, our families. In the midst of issues, in the midst of problems, God Almighty, help us to rise above those things and to choose to believe for life. to choose to believe for restoration, to choose to believe in what you can do in our families, in our marriages, in our children, in our community, in our circles of friendships. God Almighty, I pray that our mouth will not be filled with poison, but I pray that our mouth will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, that we will speak a new language. And this language we would be speaking, that people around us would know that we speak about you, because this language is filled with love, grace, and mercy. Help us, O Lord. Help us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.